I've always found the book of 1 and 2 Timothy to be very personal. Timothy in general has been important to me because, well, my dad's name is Timothy, my name is Timothy, my nephew's name is Timothy, and my son's name is Timothy. So there's something about Timothy. But it's also, of course, his letter to Timothy as a pastor. Another reason this passage is personal is 2 Timothy 1:7. So when I was about 8 years old, I was afraid of everything. Not just the dark, but everything. And so I would sit there at night with my covers about right here. I'd pull my head out and I'd say, "For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." It's the King James Version, of course. And of course, even now, this passage still means a great deal. What was Timothy up against? Well, Timothy is in Ephesus, tending to the churches there. He was dealing with false teachers within the church. Many cults and mystery religions in the city of Ephesus, not least of which was the cult of Artemis. You know anything about Artemis? Pretty crazy stuff. Agriculture, all kinds of things. But in particular, the temple prostitution of the town actually paid for a lot of their social service problems. So it was pretty fascinating. But most importantly, Timothy was losing something. He was losing his spiritual father. It's becoming plain that Paul's current house arrest is not going to end well. This passage is poignant because the words in 2 Timothy are truly Paul's last words to his spiritual child, his spiritual son. The tears of Timothy mentioned, as you see in the passage, they're for Paul, his mentor and father in God. It's no wonder that Timothy is afraid. A deep loss is about to occur at the hands of the crazed Emperor Nero, and much is at stake for Timothy and for his communities of faith in Ephesus. Go back to our Old Testament readings. Psalm 137 was also written during a time of fear. Psalm 137 was written just after 586 BC, which all us biblical scholars know what happened in 586 BC. The Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple, and they exiled the people. Some were killed, some were carried off. And our passage from Lamentations describes the event and the emotions of the people as well. Psalm 137 reflects the mockery that the exiles experienced in exile in Babylon, "Sing us a song of Zion." How can we sing the song of Zion in a foreign land? Well, this is a cry that reflects much of the history of the people of God, the children of Israel. Now, when I teach undergraduates New Testament, I tell them, I believe Psalm 137 reflects the entire experience of the Scripture, old and new. Israel is exiled, but even when they return, they are ruled by the Greeks, and then they're ruled by the Romans. How can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land, even in our own land? What is fascinating is that the New Testament writers equate that experience of the children of Israel with their own experience. They say the church, we are exiles. We are the diaspora. We are the ones scattered throughout as the Christian community. As Tim Keller says, all Christians are exiles. Jeremiah, he's the one who wrote Lamentations, by the way. He gave the people of God advice. Settle in, propagate yourself and your faith, and pray for the pagan city that they lived in. Jeremiah also said this, that the time of exile would come to an end. Well, Paul's advice to Timothy is not that different. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned his note to Timothy to pray for the pagan rulers around him. His words today carry more emotion, though, as we will see in the rest of the letter. You know, it's not just sadness and loss. He is telling Timothy to pass on what's inside of you. Pass on that which was given by his grandma, his mama, and Paul himself. What is the it he is to pass on? The it is not only the treasure of his ordination, the laying on of hands by Paul, I believe it is that, but it is also the treasure of his faith, the content of the riches of Christ Jesus. So three action words from Paul for our reflection today. Rekindle, guard, and pass on the faith. Paul tells Timothy, rekindle the gift that is in him. Now, this is the special apostolic grace given to Timothy when Paul laid his hands upon him. This is his ordination. This is his commissioning, sending out. And this is a particular role for Timothy, that of pastor and shepherd. But it is also the possession of all Christians, because all Christians have been given the grace of the Holy Spirit if we would just take it, if we would just pray for it. And the grace of the Holy Spirit gives us the call that we have on our lives. Paul says, rekindle, fan those flames, as other translations say, indicating what? Things can grow cool. Things can get stagnant. The Spirit of God is the fire, will always be the fire. But sometimes we need the kindling within our own hearts. So Sarah and the kids will tell you that I'm not a big camper. Don't mind it once in a while, but putting up the tents, sleeping in the tents, being cold, digging holes, you know what I mean by digging holes. But I enjoy the campfire. I think that's the best part of it. Finding dry wood, kindling, paper, throwing it in, watching it burn, watch the fire grow, arranging the wood so there's a bonfire. I enjoy that. Well, our faith is kind of like that fire pit. Prayer and Holy Scripture, the sacraments, giving alms, all the things we're told to do. That's kind of like the kindling and the wood. And the fire is God, God's presence. We tend to the fire of our faith and ask God to make it grow and to make it warm and rekindled. Rekindle. And second, Paul says, guard the faith. Now, this can sound kind of defensive, and in a sense it is. The Christian faith and its content are not to be trifled with. One does not tinker with the creed or Holy Scripture. There is no sacrament of what's happening now. That doesn't mean the faith is not alive. That doesn't mean there's not a back and forth between us and God. Sometimes we do feel like Psalm 137. Jewish writer Elie Wiesel writes that for, she writes, she says, for a Jew, you can be with God, for God, disappointed with God, or even, as the psalmists often are, angry with God. But the one thing the Jew can never be is without God. And the same is true for Christians. But as we need to rekindle our faith, sometimes we need to guard it, to remind ourselves what we're about. That's where the children of Israel and their constant exiles are great examples for us. Maintain the faith even when the world around you is hostile, even if it brings suffering for us. Paul says Timothy is guarding a treasure. It's worth keeping, and it's worth keeping intact. Well, lastly, Paul, in so many words, implores Timothy to pass on the faith. The faith that came from his grandma and his mama. And he does so by reminding Timothy not to be afraid of death, not to be afraid of persecution, not to be ashamed of the gospel, because the gospel is worth sharing, even in the face of suffering. We celebrated St. Francis Day a couple days ago, and St. Francis shared the gospel with everyone and everything. The birds, the trees, the poor, lepers, even the Muslim caliphate. And he did not fear for his life. We may be hesitant to pass on the faith in the workplace or in the neighborhood. So what do we do? Well, the place to start is in our home. But of course, we cannot pass on what we do not possess. We cannot tell others to follow Christ if we don't follow Christ. But I love Paul's personal connection and comment about Timothy's grandma and mom. I just talked with someone this past week whose life has been filled with adversity. I won't give any specifics, but she's a prayer warrior. More importantly, her mother was a prayer warrior. I think of characters like Monica, Augustine's mom. I think of my own mother and grandparents, passing on the best way they knew how to pass on. And sometimes that's just praying. I shouldn't say just praying. It is praying. I have a cousin named Scott. And for a while he lived with my grandparents. They were getting up there and he was a young man. And he would always hear something from their room down the hall. And so he would kind of poke in and see what they were doing. And they were kneeling down at the bed. And they did this every single night. And he wondered, what are they saying? And then as he listened more, he heard each and every one of our names. Now, if you know anything about my grandma, when she died, she had 29 grandchildren and 73 great-grandchildren. So that's a long prayer list. It's no wonder she forgot our names when she was 99, and I never held that against her at all. But think about that. Think about that. On her heart so much that she would pray for them, that my grandpa would pray for them. Pray for us. We'll pass it on. Guard the faith. Make it something worthwhile. Make it something a priority in your own life. Amen.